to the Huntley Baptist Church podcast. We hope that this message can be an encouragement to you today. Please feel free to contact us at huntleybaptist@extra.co.nz or visit us at huntleybaptist.com.
In a home not far from here, I sat with a group of ladies. We had been warmly welcomed in, enjoyed some kai, and were sitting around the kitchen table in the middle of a Bible study. We were in Proverbs, and I was reading the passage aloud when one of the ladies interrupted me and asked quite forcefully, and I quote, "Hey, how come I didn't know that verse? I've never seen it before. How come I haven't heard it?" After a slight pause, I replied, "Well, I don't know why, but it's great you know it now." To which she stood up at the table and pointed to the passage in her Bible and said, "Well, that verse, that one right there, is going to help me this afternoon. Thanks, Jen." This lady was serious. She was heading into a situation later in the day that was to be a difficult one. And that verse, that one right there, was going to help her. Never mind, thanks, Jen. More like praise God for his living word. It had leapt off the page for this woman. It breathed life into her in that moment. It was truth. It was relevant. It gave her guidance. It was real, and it was about to be applied. It had power, and it was going to enable her with a relationship that very afternoon. She was grateful to God for his wisdom. Praise God, I'm sure you agree with me. A true testament to the power of God's word and ways. I went home that morning challenged and quite moved. Challenged because I asked myself, do I get excited enough about God's truths and his word? When did I last stand up and point to a verse excitedly and state, that verse, that one right there, is going to help me this afternoon? Many of you are aware, over the last few weeks here, we have been working our way through the book of Ephesians in our Seeds of Hope series. Much has been covered, and I wonder how much I have taken home and applied. Today we continue in chapter 4. This chapter describes both the unity of believers and the new hope Christians have in Jesus. The passage begins with Paul's mention of his imprisonment and his focus on Christian unity. In those first 16 verses that Murray covered last Sunday, we see Paul appealing to Christians to live in a way which reflects the grace we've been given by God to build up the body of Christ. The remaining verses in the chapter, some of which I will focus on today, are valuable, really valuable, and give a practical explanation of how to live out a Christian life. Paul notes the difference between a life wallowing under the power of sin as opposed to a life thriving in the power of Christ. Let's not delay any longer. Let's hear the scripture entitled Instructions for Christian Living, Ephesians 4, 17 to 32. And I've asked Amanda to come and read this to us this morning. Thanks, Amanda.
Talk about a scripture for a day. This very scripture, not that Jenny knew when she asked me to read it, 4, verse 17 and 18 was like my theme of all of last year. So he speaks more than just for a day. This is what it says. Do not be like the Gentiles in the futility of their thinking. They've become darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God. Because of the ignorance in them, due to the hardening of their hearts, key to life right there, having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to all kinds of sensuality, of impurity. And, if that wasn't bad enough, they're full of greed. In accordance with the truth. There is not the way that we learned when we heard about Christ and were taught about him off. We were taught with regard to our old ways to put them off, deceitful desires, but to be made new in the attitude of our minds and to put on the new self created to be like God in the true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of us must put off falsehood and speak truthfully about our neighbours. For we're all members of one body. In our anger, we're not to sin. Don't even let the sun go down while you're still angry. Don't give the devil a foothold. Anyone who's been stealing, you've got to stop it. We've got to work, use our hands, do something useful that we may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, but only what's helpful in building up one another in accordance to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom we were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Some epic words in there. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as God forgave us.
Thanks, Amanda. Wow. God, thank you for your word. Speak to us today, I pray. What would you have us do with this passage? Help us to understand it and guide us as we apply it. In your name we pray. Amen. So in verses 17 to 18, as Nathan also addressed a few weeks back, we see Paul is insisting in the Lord that the faithful believers in Ephesus should no longer live as the Gentiles do, their thinking futile, empty, and hopeless. They are darkened in their understanding, as we've heard, and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. You're going to hear me repeat these verses. We've got to take it in, don't we? In verse 20, we heard read that, however, in him, in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. Paul was saying that all that ignorance, hardening of hearts, was then. This is now. That was the old life. This is the new one now. You were taught to put, now you're being made new and then being corrupt and having deceitful desires. The new self, created in God's image. Wow. That's a place to pause right there. Those verses have a lot we could unpack a different way. How are we tracking in our new life in Christ? I appreciate we are all in a different place. We've come up your decision to follow him. If that is the case, then I pray he will continue to reveal himself to you and that you will open your heart to him today. But if you know you are in Christ and you're following him, then we need to put off our old self and put on the new self. I was going to have a big cardigan, you know, take it off, put it on. Take it off, put it on. It's a daily thing, isn't it? That old life does have a way of slid back on at times. Our new attitude in Christ gets tested. In God's image, we are to imitate him. We are to be different from the world. Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds of the world." We're not a habit into a pattern conforming to the ways of the world. Old patterns and put on, but rather we are to put off, get rid of those. 24 says, is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We are to embrace this new life in Christ. Is there a pattern? Do you, do I, have and replaced with the new? We can read these verses, but let's be real, as did my friend in the Bible study. If we are to be different, transformed, and allowing God to renew our minds, it should affect things, firstly at home, right? That place where the rubber hits the road. Often perhaps the most challenging place, our relationships, our speech, our actions. Now, whose turn is it in the bathroom? Is the pattern grumpiness? Is it self-centeredness? Is it gossip, criticism, or a raised angry voice? Maybe the pattern is something else. Well, the great news is God will meet you in it. Nothing is too big for him. We can't change in our own strength. He meets us where we are at, and when invited to, will change us. Out with the old and in with the new. Praise God. I believe putting on the new life means keeping short accounts by forgiving often and asking for forgiveness. This will come from a heart that has been made new by the Spirit of God at salvation. Also, we are to keep the new heart soft, open to him, willing to learn, focused. I think a soft-hearted person is attractive. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be in the company of someone with a tender heart? I say this because even recently I have been in homes, including some of you here, and I've had the privilege of hearing life stories. A number have shared about their very rough upbringing, things they have experienced that have hurt them, causing broken relationships, and things happening beyond their control. And then they've met Jesus. Invited, he has come in, healed and restored, transformed lives and given purpose. I've heard this time and time again, and no doubt you have too. We could say these people would have every right to be bitter and angry for all done to them, but that bitterness is not evident in their lives. God has touched them, and they have allowed him to work in their heart. They have put off the old self and truly put on the new self. Hurt has been given over to healing, bitterness given over to forgiveness, anger given over to peace. If that is you here today, I sincerely encourage you. I respect you, and I thank God that I can learn from you. The thing I have noticed with these people, I just want to add a little bit more here on another sheet I've got. The thing I've noticed with these people when I've been with them, when I've had time with them, they have a real hunger for God's word. It is a real lifeline. The first thing done when waking in the morning, the Bible is open and read. Some waking very early, in the very early hours of the morning to do so. When trouble hits, the word is their immediate go-to. It should be for all of us, of course, but we often try things on our own a bit or seek counsel from someone else. Of course, counsel isn't wrong. Our lecturer at Lifeway Bible College, Trevor Yaxley, shared over any given course, he would have numerous people come to him asking if they could share a problem they had. He told us he would always ask them first, "Have you spent time in the Word today about this? Have you prayed?" Most would say no. And he would say, "Well, you go away and do that first and then come back to me if you need to." Most didn't return. The answers, our answers, are in God's word. As I said, of course, receiving good counsel from others is helpful. But let's turn to God's word first, like I've observed in some new believers. As we continue down this chapter, we see we are to speak truthfully. Do not lie is one of the Ten Commandments. That alone should be sufficient to not do it. It is a commandment from God. Lies catch you out. People lose respect, and lying people can't be trusted. Verse 26, if you're following down, in your anger do not sin. There is a righteous anger, but uncontrolled anger is wrong. The verse adds, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. In other words, deal with your anger quickly. Don't give the devil an opportunity to step in and make things worse. No stealing. Work is the antidote. Proverbs 16:27, idle hands are the devil's workshop. The Bible says turn that motive to steal around and instead find purpose in work. Verse 28, do something useful with their own hands that they may have something to share with those in need. Wouldn't that be a turnaround from stealing to doing that. Verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Wow. And all the talking we do, do we ask ourselves, will this benefit those who are listening? That challenged me as I prepared this. I've read the scripture at least 20 times this week, and it leapt off the page at me. So I need to listen and listen to myself. Will others benefit from my words? Do I build others up according to their needs, that they will benefit, gain, be helped from listening to the words I speak? Wow, sheesh. Not always. What part of that is hard to understand? And I note to self, homework needed there. We have a wonderful opportunity here in this whānau to do this wholesome talk and get it right. I'm sure we do it quite well already, but what would it look like if over coffee, each Sunday, we all intentionally looked for someone to encourage, to build them up according to their needs, not our agenda, their needs, so they benefited. We have young mums and dads here. We have those struggling with health issues. We have elderly. We have people who are stressed in their work, families trying to make ends meet. We have widows and widowers who we are instructed in the word to look after, teenagers and children. We come together, don't we, and there is a lot going on in our lives. Yes, wholesome talk and building others up to benefit them is on the menu at HBC. Let's agree to that, eh? To continue and lift the bar. Encouragement is needed and can go a long way. Let's lift the bar and do this even more. Likewise in our family and community. Encourage. The scripture continues, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Grieve the Holy Spirit. The point here I want to make is that the verse continues, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. It's a heavy scripture today, isn't it? These things are truth. We have his guidance and his power to help enable. In verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another. I'm going to read that again. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive, being friendly, generous, and considerate are a few words that describe being kind, being gentle, caring, and helpful are a few more. But if we want to look to the ultimate meaning, we don't need to look further than Jesus. He set a perfect example of kindness and love. Throughout his earthly ministry, he showed love for others by blessing and serving the poor, the sick, and the distressed. If we are to be imitators of him, we need to display these qualities too, if we are to reach others for him. Compassion literally means to suffer together. It is defined as the feeling that arises when you are confronted with another's suffering and feel motivated to relieve that suffering. Isn't that cool? Compassion is defined as the feeling that arises when you are confronted with another's suffering and feel motivated to relieve that suffering. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, exemplified compassion during his ministry on earth. He showed compassion at the grave of Lazarus. When Jesus saw Lazarus's friends weeping, he wept alongside them. He showed compassion to the leper. He washed his tired disciples' feet. The examples are many. Being kind and showing compassion, friends, you'll agree, is imperative. We know that, and with God's help, we ask him to help us show this more. But the full verse reads, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." It's in the forgiving of one another and the outpouring of encouragement and kindness that we invoke God's Holy Spirit to work in and through us. In order to put on the new self and take on Paul's advice on how to live, we need the Holy Spirit's power. Wouldn't it be great if we could stand up and point to Scripture today and say, that verse right there, verse 32, is my aim for the week ahead. Amen. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that brings. We thank you for the guidance you give. And Lord, we pray as we leave this place today, as we even head out for coffee, that we will intentionally look to encourage, to build up for the other person's benefit. Our speech, God, I pray you would help us think about it. You would help me think about my speech to others. Lord God, we thank you that in you we do have this new life. We can take off the old, we can forget the old and discard it, get rid of it, put it over and away, and take on and clothe ourselves with this new life that you give us. We acknowledge, God, even in doing that, we need your help. We need your help to live this Christian walk. It's not always easy, and we want to be real about that. We acknowledge our need for you this day, and we thank you for who you are. We thank you that we can lean into you, that you are and you make the difference in our lives. Help us, God, to be a people that go from here, who are consistent in our Christian walk, who love on others without judgment or criticism. Lord God, we want to learn from this word this morning. We ask you to help us to apply it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Huntley Baptist Church podcast. We hope that it has been an encouragement to you. Please feel free to contact us at huntleybaptist@extra.co.nz or visit us at huntleybaptist.com.